Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Psalm 68:5, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm your host, Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Joining me today via Skype, all the way from Thailand, is Tim Daniel, the Orphans Promise Regional Manager for the Asia Pacific region. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you very much, Sandra. Great to be on your show.
Oh, it's an honor to have you with us, Tim. Tell us, how did you first get involved in orphan ministry?
Yes, well, actually, I started out as a teacher in a Christian school in Australia. Always had a heart for missions and helping vulnerable children and families. The school that I was teaching at actually sent a team over to Thailand to support some orphanages in Thailand. And it was through that experience, I guess, I was invited to join on one of those trips. It was also around about a time when I was just praying about what to do long-term as far as missions. I had a real heart to do some more missions work. And long story short, I ended up overseas on a short-term trip and then went back a year later, planning just to be over there for a year, actually, just to do some work in supporting sort of orphan ministry. And 1 year has turned into 12 years now.
Wow.
I think it was around 2008 when I had the chance to meet with the director of CBN's Orphans Promise, Terry Mewson, who asked if I'd come on to help oversee their work in Asia Pacific. And so, since that time, I've been blessed to work with Orphans Promise. It didn't take me too long, I guess, to realize, though, that probably 70, 80% of the children in many orphanages in this part of the world are actually not true orphans. And I guess that led me to ask a lot of questions as to, you know, why so many children with families are being orphaned, if you like, and put into children's homes. So addressing that question has sort of led, to the development of I guess, what we're going to chat about today, the Holistic Family Strengthening Program and model that we call Keeping Families Together, or KFT. So, yeah, that's sort of a short story, I guess.
So that's incredible, really. When we think of orphan, we think of kids with no parents, and that's why they're in orphanages. But really, we find that, like you said, 80% of children living in orphanages there have living parents, one if not both, or at least living family members. So what did you find out? Why are these kids abandoned and in these institutions?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, actually. And I guess just a little background before I answer that. In one province in Thailand of Chiang Mai, where I'm based here at the moment, there are estimated by government officials to be more than 400 children's homes just in this one province. And that's children's homes, institutional care facilities, orphanages, whatever you want to refer to them as. And, you know, many of these, I guess the challenge is that many of them are unregistered. So it's very hard to get an accurate figure on exactly how many orphanages there are in just one province, let alone, you know, the total number of children in all 77 provinces across Thailand. But you can get a bit of an idea of the scale of this situation. And, yeah, the sad fact is that the majority of the thousands and thousands of these children in orphanages have families. But I did have the privilege of doing a research project, actually, that looked into this question, you know, why are kids abandoned to institutions? And I interviewed 20 of 80 families in an Akka Hill Tribe village who had all sent children away to children's homes and institutional care facilities just to find out sort of, you know, why they felt like they had to do that. And there were, I think, two main factors that they commented as to why, you know, they felt like they needed to send their children away. The first one was economic. A lot of these families are incredibly poor. And financially, they just felt like to send their children away to the sort of shiny foreign-funded children's home down the road was going to be best for their kids. And obviously, these, you know, the children's homes often provide everything for free. Usually, you know, whether it's free education, free clothes, free food, free shelter. So that's a big incentive for these families to you know, incredibly poor, and they think, okay, well, it's for them, it's a no-brainer. It's like, okay, well, that's it's worth sending them away. And secondly, I think is education, whether it's lack of access to schools or lack of access to quality education. And so some of these parents feel like, okay, if I send my children away, they're going to have better access to more, you know, to quality education. So I think for many of the parents, you know, they really do this with best intentions, especially, you know, I know the ones that I interviewed, I really felt like they really felt, you know, this is best for my kids. But perhaps they don't understand some of the negative impacts from institutional care that, you know, such as the obvious one of separating children from their own family and their community network, and especially for younger children, attachment issues. Many of these really young kids, some of the families I interviewed, the children were as young as like 4 and 5 that were being sent away from their families. And for them to understand those reasons that the parents are giving, you know, for them it's more just a sense of abandonment by their parents, and they can't understand that. So that leads to all sorts of attachment issues. And obviously abuse is a big problem too in a lot of institutional care facilities, where there's a low ratio of caregivers to a large number of children. And then there's the challenge of just children learning how to reintegrate back into normal community life, you know, with all the choices that that brings after aging out from a very structured institutional care type environment. So, you know, and also on top of that, I think when we look at many Asian and African cultures, you know, kinship care is actually one of the most common traditional forms of orphan care anyway. And, you know, where orphans would be cared for by the nearest of kin in their family. And yet institutional care is often eroding that traditional care structure that we see. So, yeah, when I asked each family when I did my research, you know, who would care for an orphan in your community if there were no children's homes around here to take your children, they all said, one of them said exactly the same thing. Oh, it's just obvious. They would obviously be cared for by the nearest, closest relative. So, you know, I think, as we did this research, we realized, yeah, okay, it's financial reasons and often educational reasons, but you know, it's one of those situations where you really feel for the parents, because they do feel that they're doing what's best for their kids, and yet there's so many negative impacts that are resulting as a result of that decision that's being made. So,
Well, Orphans Promise serves orphans and other vulnerable children in over 60 countries around the world, taking them from at risk to thriving through the transforming power of God's love. So, Tim, let's talk about the work you're involved in there in Thailand, specifically the Keeping Families Together project that you've established to really try to solve this problem of kids you know, leaving their homes and being placed in these institutions because their families just feel like they can't meet their needs. Tell us about KFT.
Sure. The KFT project, not to be confused with KFC, of course, we began that in 2009 in response, as you just said, to so many children with families ending up in orphanages. And KFT is basically a holistic family strengthening project. It's usually run over about 18 months through a local church in the community. And it aims to identify high-risk families in the church's community who may be at risk of sending children away to an orphanage for a lot of the reasons we just discussed, and to assist them basically to become stronger and more sustainable to be able to take better care of their children and families and to keep their family together so it can become, you know, a strong, safe and loving place for children to develop and reach their full potential. And I guess the KFT vision is to see every orphaned or vulnerable child become part of a loving, sustainable family that's been empowered and strengthened through the local church and their community. And I think in most cases, right now, KFT operates more as a, I guess, as a prevention project, targeting those types of poor, high-risk families, similar to those who make up the 70 to 80% of children with families who end up in orphanages. And the types of families we target are usually poor kinship care families, where relatives are caring for orphaned and abandoned children. Sometimes it might be grandparents, it could be auntie and uncle. Also poor widows and widowers caring for children, single parents, sometimes poor families with large numbers of children. Usually a KFT project has around 5 to 8 families in the project at one time who are participating in the project for 18 months. It's usually around 20 to 30 people. And there's about 5 main areas that we sort of focus on. It's obviously a holistic ministry, family-based care project. So we've, you know, we want to help the families develop physically, spiritually, mentally, socially, and emotionally. And some of the areas we focus on over the 18 months while working with the families is one of the big ones is income generation assistance, IGA. We just mentioned earlier about one of the main reasons is a economic financial situation where why families feel like they need to send children away. So we try to address that, and usually we try to find out what each family is doing already to earn money to support their family, and we help to help them to improve that, or we also can help them to add a supplementary income source, such as, you know, a lot of times we do things like fish farms or a noodle stall or a hairdressing salon, all different types of income generation assistance projects to help them generate more income to be able to support their own children. That's one of the big ones. Another one is education. We focus on the educational needs of the family, especially the children and also the adults. Often we will help to support the educational needs of the children that are not already provided by the government for free. But what we do is over the 18 months, as the family earns more income, we cut that back, so it's less and less support, so that the family by the end of 18 months is fully covering those costs themselves. A third area is health and nutrition. This is a big area, and health, hygiene and nutrition, a big area we focus on. Obviously, caregivers and parents need to be healthy and fit to be able to provide good care for their children. So all of the participants in the KFT project have a full medical checkup when they join the project. That helps us to identify any medical needs they may have that need to be addressed. And they all take part in training too, on health and nutrition throughout the project as well, and we have regular follow-up with that. Fourth area would be spiritual nurture. The families that we accept obviously come from the church's community, but they, you know, many of them are not Christian families. They may be Buddhist, Muslim, animist, or Christian. They're the main families we deal with here in Thailand. But, you know, we make it clear to them at the start of the project that obviously working through the local church, they're already aware of that, but we're, you know, a Christian organization, and at times we'll be sharing good news with them about God and the love of God for them. And so spiritual nurture is a big part of our project. Through everything we do, we're trying to sow seeds of the good news of God and the love of God through everything we do. And the church, because the church is a big part of this project, the church volunteers are building relationships. And I'd say this is one of the big reasons that the KFT project has been quite successful, is because it's such a relational project. And we do actually do weekly visitations to every family over 18 months, and we're building up relationships. When we do those weekly visitations, we're praying with the families, we're listening to them, hearing their needs, we're helping follow up on things like income generation, on trainings that they take part in, making sure they're applying that. But through all those visitations and relationship building, we're constantly just sowing the love of God into their lives and looking for any opportunity we have just to really share with them about the love of God. So we also give Bibles to each member of the family, whether it's children's Bibles or adults' Bibles. As I mentioned, everything is seeded with the good news and the love of God. And probably the fifth area that we really focus on through the KFT project is our training days and family fun days. Every month, over 18 months, we will have either a full training day on a Saturday or a full family fun day on a Saturday, and they alternate each month. On the training days, we talk about things like what is family, money management, planning and budgeting, nutrition, health and hygiene, valuing children, the role of parents and positive discipline, protecting and enjoying God's creation, and social skills and behavior, and child safeguarding, all key topics that we think are really important to build a strong family. And the family fun days, they're just great days where these families, because often they're so poor, they never have the opportunity to do anything special together as a family, to like go out to, say, the zoo or to a national park for a picnic or to a water park or something like that. So these days are incredibly special because, yeah, it's a real time for them to build relationships as a family as well, and for the church volunteers, to build relationships with them as well. So they're the main core elements of the project, I guess. And Orphans Promise now supports about 7 Keeping Families Together projects in about 5 countries, in Thailand, Vietnam, Laos, Myanmar, and Indonesia. And I think to this point we've assisted more than 100 families and 400 beneficiaries. And in April this year, actually, we're adding another 3 projects, 2 in Myanmar and 1 in Cambodia. So it's just really exciting how God is really using this project to really help build strong families and to be a real blessing. So, yeah, it's exciting.
That is incredible. Keeping Families Together is truly an incredible holistic ministry. I just want to remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, or global orphan care, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans, and my guest today, joining us via Skype all the way from Thailand, is Tim Daniel. Tim is the Orphans Promise Regional Manager for the Asia Pacific region and developed the Keeping Families Together project in Thailand, as we're discussing today. Their vision is to see every orphaned or vulnerable child become part of a loving, sustainable family that has been empowered and strengthened through the local church in their community. So, Tim, would you share with us a testimony from the KFT project?
Sure. Yeah, there's quite a number, I guess. One that comes to mind is the story of a grandma Pongsi and her husband Chert, who are caring for their 2 grandchildren. The children's father was in prison, and the mother was basically abandoned the children at birth. But these grandparents really loved their grandchildren, and they were really struggling actually financially to cope, and we're living in one of the poorest communities here in Chiang Mai. At one point, I can remember Grandma Pongsi, she mentioned how she had to actually borrow money from one of her neighbors to just buy milk and food for their children so they wouldn't starve, as they were just at such a desperate point in their life. And through our connections with the church and community leaders there, this family were asked if they would like to join the KFT project for 18 months. Obviously, they're the type of family we would be looking for, because the children are in a kinship care family. There's obviously loving attachments and connections there, but the family was really, really struggling, and I guess at high risk of sending the children away to a children's home because they couldn't cope. But we really saw this family just flourish over the 18 months. And just some examples, through a simple investment of providing the grandma with a larger wok, cooking wok, and some materials and a roof, the KFT project really helped that family to expand their small business selling pork, so that she was able to actually double her income by the end of that 18 months to support the family. And I know that family learned so much through the training days and really grew really close together over that time. And especially the family fun days, they loved those because they'd never had opportunities to do anything like that. They lacked transportation and obviously even funds to be able to just go out and have a special day together. So that family now is so much more sustainable than they were. And most importantly, the 2 children, Far and Meg, are doing great and growing up in a real safe, loving family where they have the permanent loving attachments and nurturing care. So, yeah, and even though they finished the KFT project back in 2013, we still follow up with that family, and it's always a pleasure to just meet with them and see their little kinship family just doing so well. So, yeah. Mm.
Love to hear that. Your goal is for every child to be in a safe, loving, sustainable family. To do this, you seek to mobilize the local church and the community. So, has the church, the Christian church there in Thailand, responded to this project?
Yeah, well, actually, that has been one of our challenges, Sandra, to really find like-minded churches who have the passion and capacity to run family-based care projects like KFT. You know, many churches, to be honest, would rather build like in a children's home or institutional care facilities. But what we have been doing is running awareness workshops for interested churches, and then helping to build capacity for those who would like to partner with us. And in a lot of cases, we partner with our KFT projects with Christian NGOs who are working alongside the church as well and helping to train and equip. But in some cases, for example, now in Chiang Mai here, we have a great church. It's only small. I think they only have about 50 members or so. But they have such a passion for their community and for keeping children in families. And I think after about 4 years of working together, for the last couple of years, they're now doing an amazing job on their own of just managing their own KFT project with very little input from ourselves. So we're really proud of them, and we're really hoping actually they can be a real model to train and equip other churches that are interested as well.
So in your work with a family, a KFT project family, you said that you work with a family for 18 months. What That's happens right. with the family after that? Do you keep connected with them? Do you check on them?
Yeah, sure. Well, I guess our hope and our prayer is that, yeah, they'll be sustainable and have built a much stronger family, more able to love and support their children in their care. But because we partner with the local church in or near their community, it continues long after the 18 months have come to an end. That church is always nearby, even if we are not. And the KFT project manager also continues to follow up and visit, I think, every 3 months for the first year after they finish, and then every 6 months in the second year. And even after that, though, because of the long-lasting relationships that are built during the 18 months, those friendships continue long after the 18-month period as well. So, yeah, there's regular follow-up after that as well.
Wonderful. And then, Tim, as we wrap up here today, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners here in the States to know and to understand?
I'd really ask you to please pray. Pray for the orphan, and I guess just pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom to know the best way to get involved. I think one thing I've seen over the last 12 years living in Asia and watching foreign support come in here is that compassion and resources don't necessarily result in best practices. Or I guess we could say that, you know, like best intentions don't always result in best practices. I guess it's a bit like those poor Hill Tribe families that I mentioned earlier, sending their children away to children's homes, or even a well-meaning foreign donor. Sometimes, yeah, best intentions don't always result in best practices. So, yeah, please just pray for God's heart, for the orphan and for wisdom. And, yeah, if you're set on giving to orphanages, please just check that they have strict gatekeeping and only allow children who really have no current healthy family option, and that the orphanage tries to recreate a family setting with small numbers of children and high numbers of carers, and also that they have child safeguarding policies. That's really important, and that they focus on short-term placement only and are doing their best to find a permanent family for every child in their care. But, you know, I really believe, as I'm sure most of you do listening to this, that, you know, God has created the family for every child, and we should be doing our best to give every child every opportunity to grow up in a loving and secure family. And I know a friend of mine, Craig Greenfield, asked a question in one of his books, Urban Halo, which really struck with me. He said, you know, when will we learn to spend our money keeping orphans in their communities? I guess we could say in their families, in their communities, rather than spending our money to take them out of their communities. And that's something that really struck my heart. So, yes, please pray for wisdom. And if God leads you to give, before you do, please research best practices in caring for vulnerable children. And, and please consider opportunities to give towards, you know, holistic ministry projects working with the local church that are building strong, loving, sustainable families for orphan and vulnerable children. But I'm very encouraged in recent years as I feel, you know, there's a real change coming, and more people are realizing the importance of giving every child a chance to grow and in a loving family, and putting more emphasis on keeping families together. So, I hope you can all join the movement.
Yeah, I think historically here in the States, when people would think, you know, help orphans, we think build an orphanage, fund an orphanage, yeah, visit an orphanage, and volunteer at an orphanage. where really we are seeing the trend of, you know, believers really waking up to the fact that God created the family unit for children to grow up in, and best practice is keeping kids in families, in their communities, and that's really where we need to shift our orphan care mentality from institutional care to family-based care. So I love the work that you're doing there, Tim, and thank you so much for all this work that you're doing to keep families together there in Thailand and throughout Asia. And thank you for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much, Sandra. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. And Orphans Promise is on the ground in over 60 countries worldwide. You can check out their work and all of their programs from the Asia Pacific program and all around the world at their website, orphanspromise.org. And if you enjoyed today's show, you can find more episodes of Orphans No More on our website, justicefororphansny.org. You can also help us continue our radio ministry by making a tax-deductible gift to Justice for Orphans. We are a nonprofit 501c3 organization. And this is Sandra Flack, the co-founder and executive director of Justice for Orphans. If you would like to invite me to speak at your church, event, women's group, small group, or retreat, you can contact me through our website and find us on Instagram and make sure that you like us on Facebook. The website again is justicefororphansny.org. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.